Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings and the joy of salvation and an opportunity to be able to serve you, Father. As we study your word, as we study your truth, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each and every one of us will truly leave our hearts open to your direction, and Father, that we might learn from your word. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, if you would, go ahead, first of all, take your white sheet. I wanted to show you something with the white sheet. And this is a question. There are a couple of questions I have on here, and these questions are going to be open also for you to answer. What I've done, I went ahead and answered the first one because I didn't want you to get tripped up on the answer. Does God make exceptions to his rules of life? Yes. You will be learning about those exceptions as we go through the study. Yes, God makes exceptions to the rules of life. How many times did he make exception for Israel, his nation? How many times did he make exceptions for the Christian? How many times are the Christian about ready to die and prayer changed that and that individual lived? Now, how many rules can you think of which there are no exceptions? Now, I could think of two, so I wrote them down to give you an idea. The two are Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There's no exceptions to that rule. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And this one, your ultimate God-appointed time to die. The scripture says there's an appointed time for everyone to die. It's the ultimate God-appointed time to die. Now, what you will find out on that is this. That as you get into the study we're going through, you will find that your life can be extended, but never extended beyond the appointed time of death. Whatever that appointed time is that God has, then you can't surpass it. Jesus couldn't even do that. But think of this. Now, we'll be getting into that later on, but think of this. If he would not make an exception, why pray? If there are no exceptions, if there's an appointed time to die, and then there can't be any exceptions prior to that appointed time, because do people die earlier than they're supposed to? Yes. Earlier than their appointed time? Yes. So that way, we Christians have no idea. We don't know what the appointed time is set for each one of us. But there'd be no need in praying, folks. If God wasn't going to make an exception and wasn't going to give us an opportunity. So prayer changes lives. God, I'll give you a scriptural, everything that I'm going to be giving you, I'll give you a scriptural basis. I'll even give you a story. Gary, tell them who it is that it was extended in their time. Hezekiah. 15 years added to his life because he was a devout man and prayed to God for it. And prayer was lifted up on his behalf. But you'll also find he couldn't go back past that 15 years. Why? That let us know that was his appointed time. Once God's appointed time is reached, you will not change it at all. Okay. Now, in your handouts that you have tonight, you will see you have your, I call it yellow. What is this? Yellow. It's what? Goldenrod. I knew there had to be a fancy name for it. Goldenrod yellow. Goldenrod. You have this one that we'll be going through. I'll be answering those questions. The one you have here that deals with the panorama of end time prophecy. The brown, you be keeping that. Man, great English grammar in it. Yeah, you be hanging on to that now, I'm telling you. Hang on to that for each study. Because what you will notice on the panorama of end time prophecy, you have the current church age, which happens to be the age that we're living in, the current church age. And then you will have the rapture of the church as we'll be getting into. You'll have the further preparation. You might notice something on that. Many people I've heard talking, many Christians believe that the rapture of the church is the second coming of Christ. It is not. Look at your panorama, and you will notice that the second coming of Christ is after the tribulation period. That's the second coming of Christ. Anyway, we'll be working up to these, so you keep this. I wanted you to have a chart on it. And also, as I'm going through the study tonight, I wanted to set this up for you. This is, I think, about a four-pager. I like the little colored picture, so I got the colored pictures to give you a whole focus of what happened with sin, separation, and even the I love to have the pictures. That's for kids like me. But as you go through it, you can see it. Now, I got to, I have this for you because many Christians already know it, yet some don't. But I have it for you so that you can use this when you're sharing with someone else. So you get asked a question. I have it laid out for you there where that you can walk them through, or someone who doesn't know Christ. Now, so you will need all of these. This is for tonight's study. This one is the one you keep. I'll always have enough of them here, though, for you, because I know how my children are, and they forget and leave them at home. I have a whole brand new box of pens for you up here, even, because I knew you'd forget to bring them back. I knew it. So I have those for you. Hang on to your pens, and you will be well taken care of by your pastor. But I don't want to hear you gripe later on, so I'll be taking good care of you, okay? Tonight, folks, as we begin, I want you to understand something about the whole focus of the study this time. Now, I have done an end-time study in the past, about 9 years ago or so that I did one here, and then before that I had done one earlier. I can assure you that what I'm going to do this time around is more comprehensive than I have ever done. I'm going to give you more scripture. I'm going to deal with the real questions. Tonight we're going to focus on the biblical key truths, facts about death, and we're going to be looking at death tonight, and I'm going to carry through next time we meet, which is the 31st, because next Sunday night is our fellowship night on the 31st. Here are the questions I'm going to be answering for you, in case you haven't. Is there an appointed time to die? I've already told you that, but I'll give you a scriptural basis. Can you die before your appointed time? As a question, where do people go when they die? And I'll have that for you in scripture. Is the fear of death normal? And is there fear of death? And why fear? Well, get into that. And I'll give you the causes of the fear of death. Plus, a big question, will everybody die? The answer to that's no. So, I'll let you chew on that till the 31st. And I'll give you again the scripture that backs all of it up. Okay, tonight as we look at the biblical answers and key truths about death, we want to look at facts about death. Now, in realizing that more than likely everybody here is going to die, unless the rapture of the church happens, everybody here is going to die. Let's just think of it that way. So if we think about and realize that, yes, more than likely we're going to die before the rapture, and watch it happen in the next 2 minutes. But you all won't care what I said if it does, so don't worry about it. Okay, but as we're going to be looking at it and thinking about life after death, before we can understand life after death, and I'll talk about life after that, what are we going to be doing in the kingdom? You'll see a lot of scripture that gives us some direction on that. But we must first understand what death means. If you don't know what death means, you're going to go nuts. You're going to scare yourself to death, afraid to die. I know people, folks, that lay awake at night worrying about dying. And I keep telling them, don't sweat it. You're going to. You cheer them up. You're going to die, but they worry about it. When we get through with this study, one of the truths I hope and pray that you'll take with you is that death doesn't mean anything to the Christian. You will find through the promises of God's word how blessed we are by God himself in the face of death. Okay, we got to look at what the Bible says about death. First of all, should be your first blank. Number one, death comes quickly. Hey, you agree with that, don't you? Mr. Smith went to the doctor, and doctor said, Mrs. Smith, I'm so sorry. I hate to tell you this, but you have 10 to live. And Smith got so excited and fearful, and he said, "Doc, what do you mean? 10 years? 10 days? 10 months? And he looked back at the doctor, and the doctor went, 9, 8, 7, 6. So, death comes quickly. Understand it. Listen to the scripture. Job 14, verses 1 and 2. How frail is humanity? How short is life? How full of trouble? We blossom like a flower and then wither. Like a passing shadow, we quickly disappear. Phew, that's fast, isn't it? We were born yesterday and we're down that generation that I grew up with, not in, but the generation ahead of me is dying out. Well, guess who's next? You know, and I look at that and I think, man, we're not all hanging around very long at all anymore, are we? I mean, we're just, we're born one day and it seems like we're out of here. The older I go, the older I get, yeah, the older I go, the less I want, the older I get, the less I want to go, I guess. The older that I get, any of you notice that by the time you go to bed tonight, you'll realize it seems like you just did that? Time is flying. I mean, it's not any longer that does the day fly. Folks, the years are flying by. I have been at this church this January. We are in January, are we still? Thank you. This January, I've been in this church as pastor 15 years. I have been here 16 years this May. Now, it only seems like yesterday. I know to you all it seems like a lifetime, but it only seems like yesterday that I came. So I understand as death comes quickly, life goes quickly. God keeps relating our life as flowers. You know, they just wither away. It's the grass grows and withers away. So knowing then that death comes quickly, you and I need to understand that we need to get a handle on death. We need to understand death and exactly what death is and what does it mean biblically. Here's one that you write down. The average life lasts 683,280 hours. Thought you'd like that. The average life of a human being is 683,280 hours. Anybody guess how many years that is real quick off your head? Mercy. I got the engineer stumped back there right now. That's correct. It's 78 years. 78 years old. Life is brief. Okay, you got that point? Point number two. You ready? Death is not the end. Death is not the end. Let me tell you something, folks. If death was the end, preachers didn't need to preach. If death is all there is, it'd be foolish for any of us to be listening to the scripture. If death is all there is, there's no more, then why worry about anything? Eat, drink, and be merry. You know, just go out and do anything that you feel, whatever feels good, do it. That seems to be a concept of life anyway. But life is, or death is not the end. Here's your blanks. Death in the Bible means separation. Never annihilation or cessation of existence. C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N, cessation. I'm from Kentucky, folks. I do the best I can with it. Never annihilation, never cessation of existence. Always separation, though. Annihilation is A-N-N-I-H-I-L-A-T-I-O-N. A-N-N. A-N-N-I-H-I-L-A-T-I-O-N. Cessation is C-E-S-S-A-T-I-O-N. It ain't over. Did you get that? Separation is S-E-P-A-R-A-T-I-O-N. Y'all are going to pull this up on the webpage, aren't you? Yeah, okay. Now, first of all, I want you to listen to what God told Adam in the garden. Never cessation, or never annihilation, but definitely separation. Okay. Genesis 2, verse 17. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. Okay, we know the story. Some out there listening may not even know what I'm talking about. So the story is Adam and Eve, God's creation in the Garden of Eden. God tells them to eat of any fruit of the garden except for the one that I just read about. The knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of that, then you will die. Now, Adam and Eve had the same problem as every other human being in our generation. Created in the image of God, given the best that God could offer, a garden so blessed, and said, I'm going to put you in charge of my garden. Now, who would not want to be God's gardener? And I'm going to bless you. As a matter of fact, you just have a ball, eat anything you want out there except for one thing. What do we human beings do? We go to the very thing God says not to eat of. So they get caught up in this. It's called the original sin. That original sin is where you find us in our separation from God on your little picture printouts that I gave you. That is where you'll find us. Now, when God told Adam and Eve this, here was their problem also. Adam, these are your blanks. Adam and Eve did not immediately fall physically dead. They did not immediately fall physically dead. But in that moment, they began to die physically. They began to die physically. Adam physically died 930 years later. I just wanted to throw that in for you. Adam physically died 930 years later. Well, okay, wait a minute. Many people then that will study Scripture, they will say, well, see, I'm not going to read this book called the Bible, because right there God said they died. They didn't die. Adam lived 930 years. That's because you have a narrow concept of death. We think of death of the body and the body only. Folks, the death of the body isn't anything. Let me tell you about these three focuses of death that we will look at tonight. There are three different aspects to death taught in the Bible. But in each case, the key idea is, it's a blank, separation, not cessation. You don't cease to exist, but you're separated. In every form that you will find death in the Bible, it always represents separation. Never cessation, never annihilation. Never means that you don't exist anymore. It just means that there is separation. So, in looking at the three different aspects, here we go. Number one, the first death is a spiritual death. The first death is a spiritual death. Think of it this way. When you and I were born, we were born spiritually dead. Now, we'll be going over that as we go along about children in heaven and even children that were aborted and all. You're going to find Scripture quite interesting, and what some of the scholars say about the mother who loses a child and their opportunity later on. But anyway, you will enjoy those sessions. But right now, as you're focusing at the spiritual death, the very instant that Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they died spiritually. They were separated at that time. Here it is. They found themselves spiritually separated and alienated from God. A-L-I-E-N-A-T-E-D. But if you've watched Star Wars, you know how to spell aliens. alienated from God. Okay, they found themselves spiritually separated and alienated from God. Ephesians 2:1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. I'm thinking Old English and reading modern language. You were dead in your transgressions or trespasses and sins. Now, when I was born, I brought this up in class this morning, my class. I think it's very interesting how we Baptists go about it, and many Christians will go about it, period. I don't care what their denomination. But you have a good kid. A kid, you're raising the children, you love the children, you let the kids know, oh, you're such a darling little girl, and you're a boy. You know, and then you go through all of this, and you know, as they go in age, as they're growing up, you've been such a good kid, you've been such a good kid. Then they get at a certain age, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12, and all of a sudden, you've told that child, you're such a good kid, and they walk in that day, and you say, honey, I want you to think about heaven, because right now, you're going to hell. This kid's been told their whole life how good they are. All of a sudden, we're springing on them. Now, you're going to go to hell if you don't make a change in your life. What did I do, Dad? Now, think of that. I grew up in an era full of that kind of stuff, all right? And we're still doing it today. Son, daughter, you need to pay attention here, okay? What should we do? As we're raising as Christians and we're raising our families, as we're talking to our kids, we let them know from the beginning, look, God is going to be talking to you. God will talk to you. God will let you know that at a certain point in your life that you need to make that special decision on your own. You see, those of us who have children as Christians, we bring them to church. Now, if you're a good Christian parent, you could care less whether they like the idea of coming to church or not. You know, do you ever get sick of listening to people say, well, you know, I don't go to church because when I was a kid, I was drugged to every church. Well, did you quit ball games when you got older? Did you quit going to the movies because you was drugged to the movies? Did you quit going to the supper table because when you was a kid, your parents drug you to that supper table and make you eat when you wanted to play? No, you keep eating, right? Yep, everyone in here is eating well. We're in good shape. Okay, so we are dead in our transgressions and sins. But folks, I wasn't in the Garden of Eden. Anybody here old enough to have been there? No. Yeah. Your son was pointing at you. No, we were not old enough to have been there. So I didn't have anything to do with that original sin. God knew that. That's why you have your other packet where God sends Jesus to bridge the gap for us, because you and I didn't have anything to do with it, but we will recognize in our life that there is that spiritual separation and alienation from God. That's when that something ringing inside of you is telling you something's just not right. It's just not right. And then when you make that commitment to Christ, that is making everything right. But it is a death. It is a very dangerous death, because without the change, when a person becomes, we call it the age of accountability. When a person gets under conviction at whatever age that it is, and that person is under conviction of knowing something's wrong, Christ presents himself to them and says that I am right. If that person rejects Christ to death, that person will never see heaven. A person will live in a place called hell for eternity. You'll learn a lot about it as we go. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Let me ask you something, Christian. And I'll give you an answer to what I'm going to ask you. Does God always answer a Christian's prayer? Yes. Yes. He won't answer what you want most of the time, about 100% of the time. Because what you're asking for, if he gives it to you, is going to do harm to you. Teenager, I want a sports car. you know, Mom, I've sold out to the Lord. Lord, let's get all get on our knees, and we're going to pray for a new sports car. And God is in heaven saying, no, that ain't going to happen. I love you. Okay, so as we're looking at our own heart, as we're looking at people growing up, as we understand that God hid his face from you. Why doesn't God hide his face from me as a Christian? Because I sin. I am a sinner saved by grace. I have sin in my life, but I know, according to God's word, that God answers my prayers because Jesus Christ, your Lord, my Lord and Savior, became sin, the Bible says, for me. He became sin for me and for you. So therefore, him becoming my sin, therefore I can never, according to Scripture, no Christian can ever be charged with sin. Because that would count the blood of Christ as nothing. It would count the blood of Christ being walked on, meaning it didn't matter, it didn't mean anything. So therefore, Jesus says, I'm giving you life eternal. See, the reason I want you to get this, if you get the idea and understand through Scripture how that death has no power over you, how that because of what Christ has done, you can have that eternal peace, then we'll work for the Lord and quit worrying about death. We will take the fire that Christ has built in our heart, and because we love him and care about what he did for us, what he did on the cross for our whole family, that in itself ought to revive us again, folks. It's the word of God that revives. It is not the intellect of man. It's the holy word of God reaching to the depth of who we are that will revive us again. He no longer hides his face from us. I knew I'd get to preaching if I got stuck in this. Excuse me. Let me get back to it. This spiritual death separation was bridged for us by Jesus when he died on the cross. Some of you already have that feel. By Jesus when he died on the cross. Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Okay. Everyone, people who are non-believers pick that up and say, see, Christ died for everyone, so there's no reason for us to accept him. No. Anytime you will see that, many times you'll see the scripture says, and he died for many. Many of your translations, well, he died for many. Well, I thought he died for everybody. He died for whosoever will call upon his name. As many who will call on him, that's who he died. For as many who believe in him, that's who he died for. He did not die for non-believers. He did not die for those who refuse to believe in the name of Christ. Any questions on that, folks? So what is spiritual death? Here's your answer again. Man's separation and alienation from God. That's spiritual death. Now, you will talk to people who are spiritually dead all the time. Those are the individuals that... Open that door over at Webster for us, would you? Getting warm in here. Spiritual death is man's separation and alienation from God. Folks, remember I told you that death comes quickly? As quickly as death comes, you do not want to be separated from God. You see, I will, as a Christian, we will never, ever find that separation. It's impossible. Because if it were possible, then Christ, my goodness, he'd have to be dying. If he didn't do it right the first time, he'd have to still be dying on the cross for us every time we mess up. He did it right the first time. Number two, the second death. The second death is a physical death. When a person dies physically, he or she does not cease to exist. There is a separation between the material, M-A-T-E-R-I-A-L, the material part, you all put physical, didn't you? I knew I was thinking wrong. Through the material part, the body, and the immaterial part, which is the soul or spirit of a person. It's the soul or spirit of a person. Remember this when you're studying. A lot of times you will see spirit and you will see soul. Sometimes the soul means the physical being, the physical body. And sometimes soul will mean, forever living soul. Going back into the physical body, the soul. Haven't you ever... Ever-living soul downstairs making all that racket. If I have to get up and come down there, ever-living soul down there is going to die. That was talking about the body. That was when they used the belt and all that other stuff. I never did see a living soul die during all of those eras, but the threat was bad enough. Okay. When this separation occurs, the body falls asleep and is buried. Now, I will go through an area probably next session on the 31st. There's no such thing as soul sleep. There is the statement dealing with the sleep is where the body has fallen asleep. Jesus used it a lot, meaning the body is separated, and that body then goes back to the dust from whence God created the body. But the body is sleeping. In the grave or whatever, not the soul. Listen to it. James 2, verse 26, the second part of verse 26. The body without the spirit is dead. Now, I put this in there for you also. The opposite of that statement is never true. The statement in James 2, 26 is the body without the spirit is dead. But the spirit can never die. The spirit without the body will never die. There's no such thing as your spirit, the real you that is in that body. I told you that's your vehicle on earth. God gave some people Cadillacs, and he gave some SUVs, and he gave some... I'll get out of it right now. Anyway, it's a vehicle. Some bulldozers. But anyway, this body is your vehicle on earth. Again, I remind you, you are a spirit with a body. You're not a body with a spirit. We got it? So therefore, when God breathes spirit in, then you will know that that spirit will never, ever cease to exist. The body will go to sleep, but the spirit will never cease to exist. Of all the molecules that have ever been created, how many molecules are gone? None. There's the same amount of water still on this earth as ever in this earth. Okay, now, isn't it great that God doesn't waste? I really appreciate it that God doesn't waste. So therefore, I know that you and I, and listen to about the death part, you and I, the scripture says, were in the mind of God before time began. Whew. Now think of this. If before time began, God said he laid out my path for me. Larry Pete, I'm laying out a path for you in life. This is before time began. And he had every one of us on his mind. He did that with every single one of us. He knew us, and he had us in his mind, and he planned for us to be born in the generation that we would be born, and he did not plan on any of us ever dying. Before I even get to the hell part in one of these studies, what was hell, or who was hell created for? Satan and his angels. Never for the human being. The human realm was never meant to ever even visit hell, much less go there. Actually, you got to work to get there. But the opposite of the statement is never true. The soul, the immaterial part, was created to live forever. That's your blank. Live forever and goes to one of two places. Heaven or hell. Now, are there categories in each one? Are there different positions in hell and heaven? Yeah, I'll show you those in the scripture as we get to those studies. Folks, you're going to learn something through these studies, I hope. If you don't, You need to fire me. When Adam was created, he was just an empty clay pot. I just thought I'd use clay pot, okay? That's scriptural. He was an empty clay pot made from the dust of the earth until he received the what? Ah, I knew y'all would get that. And the breath of life from God. Empty clay pot till he gets the breath of life from God. When he gets the breath of life from God, he became an eternal being. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. I told you all. But I knew if it wasn't in the scripture, you weren't going to believe me. Adam was not a person. He had no life until he had a soul. Your soul is the real you. It cannot die. It's eternal. Here's something else you're going to learn. And I love this. You know, later on as we're looking at, will you know each other in heaven? Not only will you know each other that you knew here on earth, you're going to know the people that's there that you never knew on earth. Now, you're going to be pretty smart in heaven. I can hardly wait, folks. I'm looking forward to knowing people. Now, hey, any of you have trouble with the names, remember names? Oh, are you going to be blessed? You are going to know everybody's name and you're never going to forget it. Even you, Jane. Everybody's name and you're never going to forget it. Okay. Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say the real you? All right, folks, anytime that you're dealing with the human existence, I want you to remember this. You're focusing more, we are focusing more on feeding the vehicle that God has given us. We'll primp this vehicle. Why, there's no telling how many cans of hairspray I'll use. Or Don Breck, either one. Yeah. We primp the bodies, we feed the bodies well. And as a matter of fact, we continue until we will overfeed the bodies. And yet, the spirit is left, the real you is in there starving for that spiritual food that comes from the Word of God and the Word of God only. That spiritual food that comes from the Word of God, God says, feed your spirit. If we had paid nearly as much attention to feeding our spirit as we do our bodies, think, folks, of how many people that you are going to be able to touch in your life. Just think about that. If your spirit is fed and then you're paying attention, more attention to the spiritual pangs of life instead of the hunger pangs, you know, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to go to White Castle when we get through here, so I'll meet some of you. Okay, when you do that, but you would feed that spirit. And then that spirit, once fed, would have John come to Larry. And John would say to Larry, Larry, now you need to know Jesus. Let me tell you how you can find a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because John will have fed the spirit through the Word of God. And when God convicts, we listen. When your stomach convicts, don't you listen? Oh, man, I got to feel it or I'm going to die. No, you're not. Everybody in here that's ever been in a war zone, you know what hunger is and you know what starvation is when you see it. And I don't know of anybody around here that's in danger of dying from starving to death. Do you? Be careful, men. Physical death. Now, here's what I want to real point out for you. Physical death is not a period, the dot. It is not a period. It is a conjunction, conjunction. It is not a period, it's a conjunction. That's the parts of speech, you know. It's not a period. Okay, let me read it and I'll show you. Luke 16, verse 22. You ready? Now it came about that the poor man died, and, that's a conjunction, not a period, And he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died, and was buried. Man, he cut that one short, didn't he? If you'll know the story, and you'll learn it as we go through the study, and knowing the story there, the rich man refused to accept Christ. The rich man refused to acknowledge God. Lazarus, the poor beggar that was there, did acknowledge God. And Lazarus, you're learning something from a future study there. How was Lazarus taken to be at Abraham's bosom? The angels. Are angels real? Sure they're real. Are you real? Let's reach over and pinch yourself and see whether or not that you're sure. Angels are real. And angels took him. Now, again, it's a conjunction, meaning he died, period. It's over. No. You died and what? And the Christian is carried by the angels of Almighty God. Wonder how many angels it'd take to carry us. I wasn't looking at you, Jane. No. I wonder how many angels escort us into the heavenly realm. Did you ever think about that? How many angels? I'm excited that one's coming, but I'm also excited that he's going to take me to be with Christ. You'll also go see in this study, because I found a scripture on it for us that we'll bring up about the people on their deathbed actually sometimes get a glimpse and see Christ coming for them. Is there a biblical truth to that? The answer is yes. I'll show you that truth as we go through the study. I hope you all get fired up for this. At the split second we die, our spirit passes into conscious existence in eternity. Conscious existence in eternity. That's why it's important for you to know where you're going to spend eternity. It's a good question. Where will you spend eternity? In heaven or hell? One you'll go and there you'll dwell. We learn it growing up. But as we grow up, we also forget it. Because we do not want to have anything in our mind. If you notice that, we only want to think good thoughts. You know, sometimes if we would really deal with life, deal with what is real, then it's and get that thought press going, process going within our mind, that we would see God working in our life. And you would actually see how God has led you through different steps. Well, you're never going to automatically all of a sudden say, okay, I know it. I got the handle on death. I got the handle on life. It's a process. You have to live life, deal with life, before you ever learn about life. Now, if you hide from life, you know, if you lock yourself in a room, and I'm not going to do it because if I go outside those doors, the world is going to destroy me. What are you going to do? You're going to let the world destroy you locked in your room. So therefore, we have to live life, focus on life. Because God says, as you will do that, then you will understand that your conscious existence is in eternity with him, not in hell. Okay. Number three, the third death is an eternal death. Three deaths. You've got a spiritual death, you have a physical death, and you have an eternal death. Any Christian, in the sound of my voice, doesn't have to sweat the eternal death. Anybody that is not a Christian, in the sound of my voice, that is the death that you should be most aware of. An eternal death. Here's the problem about who we are in God's existence. Eternal beings mean that we never die. I listen to people joke a lot of times about, well, when I die, I'm going to hell and be with the rest of my friends. Well, the rest of your friends may be there, but you won't recognize them because you will all be in this state. This is a state for hell. Eternally dying, but never able to die. How many people have you seen on their deathbeds that beg for death? and God will bless them. Because we as Christians, we know that once this body has focused where it's not moved or we're trapped on the inside, we're crying out, God, have mercy on me and take me on home. How many times, Christians, do we shout as a Christian passes on because we know that Christian, that dear beloved spirit that we know so well, that they have passed on to be with God Almighty in a heavenly realm where we're going to be there pretty soon. And we start thinking eternal. I'll be there shortly. Eternally speaking, every one of us are going to be there shortly. Now, that eternal death, the eternal separation of lost sinners in hell from the presence of God. Eternal separation of lost sinners in hell from the presence of God. You know, and in thinking about hell, and we'll have a whole study on hell, the different sections of hell and all. But in thinking about that, you know, it's bad enough when you think about the wailing, gnashing of teeth, the fire and brimstone and all that we read about. You know what's the hardest for me to ever picture? Being anywhere where God wasn't. See, I don't care what comes against us right now. I don't care how bad any situation is. Every one of us can have hope. Right, Linda? Every one of us can reach to that hope. It doesn't matter the type of death. It doesn't matter all the hurt and the power and all that. We have hope. Why? Who gives us that hope? We're in the presence of God Almighty. We're in His world. He created it. He created us. You and I are in our own little world a lot of times. We even say that to each other. Man, you're out in your world. Yeah, and you're out in yours. But it's a world that God has given us. And in our world right now, in our existence, folks, there is hope. I don't care what comes our way. We can always look up and God will hear our cry and God will answer our call. God will talk to us and we know it. Now, God may chastise us. But isn't that a great feeling, knowing that God's going to correct you? Do you know in hell there's no correction? Do you know in hell that there's no hope? Do you know in hell that all there is misery continually? That's why I preach. Because I know that eternity is real. If I didn't think that you were going to live past this life, we'd forget it. But we are. We're going to be eternally somewhere. And I appreciate the idea and the opportunity that God has given me as a Christian to lead as many to the right place as I can. That's our job on planet Earth. We got a job to do down here. You know, you can retire from your physical human job. You can't retire from your Christian commitment. You can't retire. You know, I'm retired. I'm not going back to church. Well, okay. You better hope God doesn't retire. I'm sorry, Larry. I'd come, but I'd on vacation when you was hurting that bad. No, folks, you can't do that. Now, this is called, let me read the scripture, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. His power to what? His power to lift me up. His power to get me out of the ditch of life. His power to feed me. His power to touch my heart. His power to put the family back together again. That's what eternal destruction is, that separation from God. This is called the second death. It's called the second death. Well, let me ask you another question here. You don't have it there. Can a Christian die the second death? That's correct. No. Impossible. I'll give you all the scripture on that later. Christian is, I think I may have some right here for you. Revelation 20 verse 6. I know I got some right here for you. Blessed and holy. And remember, blessed means happy. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. What's he talking about? I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. He is the first resurrection. Do you know Jesus is on? People would argue about that. They say, Well, what about Lazarus? He was resurrected from the dead, and Jesus Christ says that he's the first of the resurrection. Jesus never died again. Lazarus did. He's the first of the resurrection. Okay, now, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. Woo! But they will be priests of God and of Christ. Now, you're going to see something in a future study we got here. And will reign with him for 1,000 years. You think you're going to be resting during that millennial reign? You're still going to be working, folks. Now, can you play? Do you play harp in heaven? Actually, Scripture lets us know that everybody in heaven knows how to play a harp. I'll give you that to you in one of the studies. But you're not going to just sit on a cloud playing a harp. You'd be bored to death sitting on a cloud, wouldn't you? And then I could picture us. Well, you're not going to be doing that. Larry, I don't think you got that right. Listen to this. Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. You'll learn about death and Hades. You'll see the different sections of hell. That's what I'm talking about. This is the second death, the lake of fire. You see that in your little printout here that I gave you. Read that, look at it. Learn about it that way that you will have it with you, so when anybody asks questions, you'll have the scripture that is there. Again, each time we meet, I will give you some points of scripture where you deal with death, folks, but if you don't get a grasp on death, you're never going to be able to enjoy the life that God has given us. You have to understand that, and you will learn this on the 31st, death has lost its sting with the Christian. Jesus took the sting of death for us. He took the victory of the grave. When he died and was put in that tomb, he conquered death for you and me, folks. So therefore, quit sweating it. It's keeping us from doing God's work here on earth because we're worried to death. Well, I'm going to die. Well, my goodness, hurry up and get it over with if you're not going to serve the Lord. But let us as Christians stand up together, united together for God's word and to lead a world that is going straight to hell away from it. I do not want to be happy about telling people they're going to hell because I don't want them to go there. I cannot imagine one, but I do not want Osama bin Laden going to hell. He seems like he's choosing to go on his own. But it is a choice. If you could witness, lead them to Christ.